follow the rest of the kids. I don't know about you, but sometimes we sing songs like that. And if you're paying attention to the lyrics, you go, am I? Do I? Are you, is God my heart's desire in this moment, this last week, in this day, is he? And sometimes songs like that can be ones that I've probably sang that song my whole life. I don't remember a time not knowing it. But often it's so helpful for us to stop and maybe to repent and maybe to confess to God, right now I'm really struggling. You know our situation or you know our financial need, and right now I want a mortgage payment that's pressing on my mind more than you. Or God, this week I've been worrying about this or that. So sometimes that hits us, and I pray that God continues to use the lyrics of the songs and his word that we'll look at here in a moment to continue to feed us from his word. So I'm going to pray. This is our pastoral prayer. If you're new to our church, this is a longer prayer. So settle in for a few moments. It's a longer prayer. We typically will pray through several elements. One of the elements we do is we pray for other churches. We want God to bless other churches. The kingdom of God is far bigger than Liberty Bible Church. For that, we are very grateful. There are other good churches who preach the gospel, who are discipling believers, making disciples, sharing the good news of Jesus with others, and for that we are very thankful. And so that's one of the elements that we do in praying. I do want to say it's so good to see you, Ian, this morning. Praise the Lord. Yeah, praise the Lord. Very grateful for it. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. And happy birthday, Carolyn. Yeah. That's the only ones I have. Okay, sorry. We're not going to be able to address everyone, but happy birthday. I won't tell you who told me, but you know already, probably. Let's pray. God, we just sang the words, as the deer pants for the water, so our soul longs for you. This comes from your word in Psalm 42, where the writer is speaking of his longing for you, the living God. He says that his soul thirsts for you. Father, make this true of us, that we would long for you, that we would hunger and thirst for your word, that we desire righteousness and we pursue eagerly living a life that is holy and pleasing to you. You who have ransomed our souls from hell by your grace. You who suffered on the cross for our sins. You who has told us about you in the scriptures and allowed us to know you and come to know you more intimately in salvation. You who live inside of us who are Christians. You who loves us without ever lessening the intensity of that love. A love without conditions or fear of losing it. Oh God, we love you. We long to be at peace with you, to rest in your goodness and your care over us, and to see you face to face one day in glory. We long to know you more. So teach us from your word. Teach us by your people. Teach us through our own study and intentional efforts to grow as your people. We long to love you more, so keep us from loving other things or people more than you. Keep us from loving ourselves more than you. And we long to obey you more, so keep us from loving sin. Help us to know what you want us to do and give us desires to obey you rather than men. And please, we ask, would you forgive us when we do sin in ways we know about and in ways we don't know about, in things we have done and in things we have left undone? Would you reveal that to us? We have hurt people with our words. We have robbed people of joy. We have thought things that were harmful and gross this past week. We have done things that we would be embarrassed if anyone found out. So, Father, please, this morning, move in us to repent, to remove our sins from us, to put them to death, and help us to be honest about our sins and give us a longing for you that is stronger than our desires for dark and wicked things. Father, thank you that you have removed our sins from us in your Son Jesus and given us his perfect righteousness that makes repentance and a transformation of life possible. Father, we also thank you for this season that is upon us, a season of school starting, of sports warming up, and the weather wanting to cool down. What an incredible creation that you have made. And we thank you for it, and we are in awe of you because of it. And God, we are hearing more and more stories of either well-known or high-ranking people who recently are putting their faith in Jesus to save them. And we rejoice with the angels in heaven over that. We ask boldly that you would bring our president, members of his cabinet, our Supreme Court justices, our state representatives, our governor, our mayor, to genuine saving faith if they are not yet Christians. Father, would you also save our parents and grandparents, our children, our adult children, our grandchildren, our friends, our neighbors, the people working today in shops around town, and the person who is visiting right now who knows she needs Jesus to be her Lord and Savior. God, you tell us to ask and we shall receive, and we know without a shadow of a doubt that you can save anyone that you want. And we pray that you will. Father, please bless Pastor Bill Miller this morning and those who are worshiping at Wellspring Christian Fellowship just a few blocks away. May they hunger for your word and grow as your disciples. Please bless Harvest Community Church in Selah and their pastor, Jason Williams. May they continue to be faithful to preach your word, to be led by godly pastors and elders, and to love their neighbors as themselves. Father, thank you for the time we got to spend with our missionaries, Brett and Anna Rexinger, and their boys, James, Oliver, and Theo, last month. Bless them as they are back in Austria now. Bless the work of their hands. Bless their local church and its pastors. And would you please bring Muhammad and his dad to saving faith in Jesus? Father, feed us now from your word. Rid us of distractions and give us your peace. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen. If you would, let's take our Bibles this morning and let's go to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. I haven't prepared anything out of Acts, so hopefully we're not going to Acts. Exodus chapter 20. That is the stuff, though, my nightmares are made of. I stand up and I have no notes. I have not prepared. So this morning I have notes and I have prepared. So Exodus chapter 20 and verse 12 is where we'll go, because that's what I prepared for. So if you would stand with me in the honor of reading God's word this morning, we're going to read the fifth commandment. I'll read it. You follow along in your copy of God's word. I would say let's all read it out loud together, but that could be a little bit chaotic because we have different versions. So I'll read it. You follow along in your copy of God's word this morning. Exodus 20 and verse 12 says this, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you." This is the word of the Lord for us this morning. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. You may be seated. I'm going to ask a bit of questions here this morning at the very beginning. I want you to know they're all rhetorical. You don't have to answer out loud. It'd probably be best if we don't. But the question would be, what were you like as a child? What were you like as a child? Or if you're not an adult yet, what are you currently like as a child? Were you a pretty obedient child when, along with what your mom and dad said, didn't cause much of a stir? You had a desire to please your parents, or maybe you were pretty rebellious as a child. Maybe you were sneaky and not openly rebellious, but you found ways to disobey, but maybe not get caught as often as the openly rebellious did. You are probably a secondborn then, and allowed the oldest brother to set the example for you. Or maybe you were the thirdborn like me, and more the type who got other people to do the disobeying for you, so that you could never be caught and any injustice be labeled as being done by you. Now, I definitely, as a child, got into my fair share of trouble. I know I deserved far more punishment than I received at the hands of my parents. But I also remember my mother telling me someday that she hoped I would have a child just like me. I don't think that she thought this was a good thing either, that this was a blessing, you know. The ironic blessing, this is the ironic blessing. I want you to have a child just like you, that you can experience the joy that I was to her, that I might be able to experience myself. But for those of us who are parents, don't think that we get the morning off because we're looking at the fifth commandment that speaks to children honoring their mother and their father. So how are we doing as parents? Do we make it easy for our children to obey us or to honor us? Have we instructed them well in what it is that we expect of them, what we want from them, how they can go about following the rules? Or are we vague, irrational, always changing, not being consistent? Well, this morning we're looking at the fifth commandment that God gives to honor your father and your mother. And the main point is we as Christians are looking to bless those around us, not only your parents, but ultimately everyone that we come into contact with. Because of God's saving grace, we as God's people get to bless those around us. We get to bless those around us. We'll look at three things this morning. And number one is notice the shift from loving God to loving others that we see here, beginning with this fifth commandment. We'll notice a shift that comes from loving God to loving others. The first four commands that we have looked at in the last several weeks all focused on our relationship to God. They were no other gods before me. No images or statues being made to bow down to worship. Nothing else that would take my place in worship. Don't use language not befitting a Christian. Remember who you are as an ambassador to the Lord, and may your language be appropriate for one who claims to be a follower of Jesus. And then just last week, remember one day a week is for worship and rest that the Lord has given you as a gift, as the Sabbath. And so those four commands, looking primarily at a relationship to the Lord, but here, the fifth commandment, we transition. We can say it as Jesus did when he summarized the law in Matthew 22. Someone comes up to Jesus and asked him, "Teacher, what is the great commandment in the law?" As always, expecting one command. And Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment." And then verse 39, he continues on, "And a second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." So the first four commandments and the 10 commandments fall under the first great command that Jesus gave, to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then the commands 5 through 10 within the 10 commandments fall under the second command that Jesus gave in Matthew 22, and that is, "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus says, on these two, loving God and loving your neighbor, hang all the law and the prophets. All of the commands are found within these two. It's as though you could take these two commands that Jesus gives in Matthew 22 and unpack them and find the Ten Commandments and the rest of God's commands for us as his people. Jesus comes, remember, and he doesn't get rid of the law, but Jesus comes and he fulfills the law. And he gives us what it is that we ought to be doing as God's people. And this fifth command stays intact stays in effect for us as God's people. Open up these two great commandments and you find a number of ways to practically fulfill them. How do I love my neighbor as myself? Well, one, you honor your mother and your father. And then so on, as we see the Ten Commandments here, they look like the Ten Commandments, ways that we can practically fulfill the command Jesus gives to love our neighbor as ourselves. We as God's people get to bless those around us. In the way that we fulfill the fifth commandment, in the way that we are seeking to obey Jesus' second great command, to love our neighbor as ourselves, we get to bless those around us. We have to notice this shift, because here in the fifth command in Exodus 20:12, we are seeing that what we have learned in the first four is foundational to the way that we keep the fifth. We cannot neglect to obey the first four commandments in our desire to keep the last six. We can't focus only on the last six and neglect the first four. And nor can we obey the first four but neglect the last six. They are tied to each other. As our honoring of God, our desire to love Him with all of our heart, soul, and mind will be fleshed out in the way that we love one another, in the way that we seek to bless those that are around us. They are tied to each other. We see this in the fifth commandment that is repeated in the New Testament, where it says in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Paul picks up the great command that Jesus has given to us of loving your neighbor as yourself. And in his way, in Ephesians, trying to flesh that out into people, he has commendations for husbands and wives. But here he also, in Ephesians 6:1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land." And then interestingly, verse 4, "Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord." So, number one, we notice the shift that happens here in Exodus chapter 20, the shift that goes from the first four commands to now the last six. The ones that look at first loving God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and now then desiring to love our neighbor as ourselves. It's going to be helpful for us to put it within that parameter as we look at the next six commands, the fifth one here today, and then the next in the weeks to come. How do we, as God's people, love our neighbor as ourselves? Well, God will show us in these commands that He gives, command number 5 and following. So number 2, then, in our looking at three different ways, we look at this text in Exodus 20:12. Number 2 is prioritize the fundamental relationships that God has given to you. Not only do we notice the shift, but we prioritize the fundamental relationships that God has given you. Kevin DeYoung writes in a book on the Ten Commandments, "If the foundation for the first table of the law, the first four commands that God gave, was the first commandment. That is the foundation for those first four. You shall have no other gods before me. I alone am God." Remember, Jesus says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind." There's no room in all those alls for anyone else. So Kevin says, if the foundation for the first four, first table was the first commandment, then the foundation for the second table is the fifth commandment. Honor your father and your mother is the foundation, he says, upon which love for our neighbor is built. So not only does it begin a new shift, but he says it's foundational to the next five commands that come after the fifth commandment. The parental relationship is the first and most important human relationship, and it shapes all other relationships. When you come across a kind, considerate, capable young person, or you come across someone in your workplace who seems hardworking, conscientious, responsible, and considerate, more often than not, you owe a great debt of gratitude to that person's parents. Now, there's all sorts of exceptions to that, right? You can have bad parents with a good kid, or a bad kid with good parents. You could have a kid raised by grandparents. You can have all sorts of exceptions, but generally speaking, we can look at a child who has some of those characteristics and say, he was raised well. His parents raised him in a manner that is faithful to God's word, or in a manner that really considers other people. In this relationship with our parents, we learn what it is to have someone in authority over us as children. We learn what the social structure is to have someone who has authority over us, to listen to other people, to honor them, and to do things that honestly we don't want to do at times. Being a child, sitting under the instruction of your parents helps us. Our parents are our teachers. Our parents instruct us. Our parents are our disciplinarians. They discipline us when we go astray from their instruction. Someone else has a say over us when we were children. Children in this room, someone else, your parents have a say over you. So we're going to trust, hopefully, that they know better than us. St. Augustine said, if anyone fails to honor his parents, is there anyone he will spare? And so we recognize the relationship that a child has, being raised in a home by his parents, and how he treats them. And we often see the same thing happening in how that person will then go out and treat others within society. This is where we learn to live with other people. We learn in the home at a young age that there are authority structures within the world. The family is where we learn about respect and obedience, and hopefully, if it's a good family, about love and protection. And I know that as we talk about parenting and honoring your parents, there might very well be someone in this room who say, I cannot do that. You don't know the type of home that I've come from. And for that, we grieve with you. And for that, we do recognize that there are real difficulties living in a world that is permeated by sin, even within the church. My dad has passed away, but our family would go to church with a dad who was dressed up in a suit and tie every Sunday, was an usher, so he would have been taking up an offering. And we would go to church every Sunday, not knowing what swear words would be yelled at our mother, or about us maybe. If we were running late, he would just leave us. We would find our own way to church. There was usually another car that was running in the driveway. But the same guy who was with us on the way to church was not the same guy who walked in those doors and greeted others around him. I know that that might be happening. Maybe not in this church, but maybe other churches within our town. Maybe with your other Christian friends. And so it isn't the same where you say, that's an ideal scenario where children can grow up in a way, honoring their parents who are desiring to grow them and raise them in the knowledge of the Lord, but I don't have that privileged position. That's not my situation. And to you, we would say, we want to pray for you. We want to care for you in any way that we can. And there might be other instruction that we can help give. Reach out to someone else in your life group. Reach out to one of the pastors and elders within this church. And we want you to be in a safe place where you're able to receive instruction, to be able to obey authorities placed upon you who desire your good, your eternal good. The family is the structure, the piece of society that our society and culture are built upon. They're a bedrock of communities. In families where there is order, trust, and respect that is built. So if you want to love your neighbor as yourself, we need to start by listening, children, to our parents. We might think that my parents, I want to be involved in missions, I want to be involved in a missions trip, or go serve somewhere else, but how are you doing in the home? We do this as a church whenever we look at bringing on another deacon or an elder. But primarily those roles, I was going to say maybe other roles too, but primarily those, we'll say, is the person already serving? Not do they have potential to be serving, potential to be shepherding people, or potential to be sacrificing of their time, but are they already doing it? And then basically the church and the leadership comes around them and affirms what God is already doing in and through that person and the ministry that they already have. Whether that be really small and noticed by no one, or more of a platform ministry that other people might see. And so we want to be able to encourage or affirm someone who is already doing it. Children, are you already listening to your parents, honoring your parents, desiring to follow the standards that they lay out for you and recognizing the authority God has put over you? If so, you're already obeying God's commands, and your parents might be able to see that, be more encouraged that if I send them on a mission trip, they're going to obey and respect the authorities that are over them on that trip or in that ministry, whether they might be serving as an LIT in our children's church or nursery or someone else somewhere else within the building. They will be an asset to those who are ministering. But if a child is not being able to listen to the instruction of his parents and be respectful and honoring in the way that they hear and receive the message the parents give and obey, then a parent would have a hard time saying, I think they're going to be a real blessing to this ministry leader in the way that they might serve. And so if you want to love your neighbor as yourself, continuing on with the next few commands, then start by listening and honoring your parents. The Old Testament shows that disobedience to your parents was an egregious violation of the law. It doesn't take much research to find within the Old Testament some pretty harsh punishments for children who disobey their parents. I will just give you one example, Deuteronomy chapter 21. Deuteronomy chapter 21 and beginning of verse 18, if a man has a stubborn and rebellious son who will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and though they discipline him, will not listen to them, then his mother and his father shall take hold of him, bring him out to the elders of his city at the gate of the place where he lives, and they shall say to the elders of the city, this is our son. He is rebellious and stubborn. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. How old is this kid? Then all the men of the city shall stone him to death with stones. So you shall purge the evil from your midst, and all Israel shall hear and fear. Now, I was reading someone who was referencing this passage and talking about this text that we're looking at in the fifth commandment, and they said, no doubt they'll hear and fear. All of a sudden you have a child who's going, okay, the stakes have been raised. It's not just he might have a little bit of a timeout, sit in the corner with a dunce cap on. You're getting stoned with stones. It's a serious and egregious violation of the law. The disobedience to parents is included in a list of serious sinful behavior, even in the New Testament. Now, the New Testament does not allow for someone to be stoned with stones because they disobey their parents. Thank the Lord for that. A number of us men probably wouldn't be here in this room this morning, including the preacher. But disobedience to parents is included in the list of serious sins and sinful behavior in the New Testament. Romans chapter 1, beginning of verse 28, as Paul is making an argument that all people, Jews and Gentiles, all people are under sin and in need of the gospel. He says in Romans chapter 1, and beginning in verse 28, and since they did not see fit to acknowledge God, God gave them up to a debased mind to do what ought not to be done. They were filled with all manner of unrighteousness, evil, covetousness, malice. Listen to some of these things. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Though they know God's righteous decree that those who practice such things deserve to die, they not only do them, but give approval to those who practice them. You see, the reality is that while no one's going to stone you with stones, young person, for disobeying your parents, bring you out into the public square, it is as though by your sin you have already been stoned with stones because you are a dead man walking. If you have yet to come to faith in Jesus, we, Paul will say later here in Romans chapter 3, that we are all dead in our sins. All of us have fallen short. All of us are in need, find ourselves in a place where we will receive judgment if we do not come and repent of our sins and trust in Christ alone for salvation. All of us are in that place. Whether we come and we sit in this room on Sunday mornings or we don't, all of us, apart from coming, crying out to Jesus to save us, all of us are in that same place, destined to die because of our sins. And the list, I mean, he has envy next to murder. So the very fact that I look at someone else's truck and I say, ooh, man, that's a nice truck. I would love to have a truck. Saddle, leather, man, all of the bells and whistles on it, all, whatever it is for you, whatever it is for me, there's something for everyone in envy, okay? It's this vast array of all of these things. We can look at anyone's gift, ability, or thing and say, I want that. And I don't want them to have it if it means I get it. But that's right next to murder, the taking of someone's life. And all of these things bring about death and cause us as sinners to be worthy of being deserving of death, he says in verse 32 there of Romans 1. And so we must obey the commands to obey our parents, but from a heart that says, I've already given my life to Jesus. I've already come to the first commandment, and I have not set any other gods before me, but I have come and I worship God alone. And I do so in faith that the Son of God loves me and gave his life for me. And that brings me into a right relationship with God, where the Holy Spirit works now in me to give me desires, young person, old person, to obey or honor my parents. So we must obey the command to honor God's parents, because we, as God's people, get to bless those around us, including our parents. The primary relationship that we are born into, we get to bless those who are around us. This can move out from outward from our parents to our next favorite relationship that we have no problems with ever, and that is our siblings. And so we get to move from one relationship to the next, going from the fire into the frying pan, right? And so, and then we get to move to other relationships out of there. How do we bless those around you? How do you love your neighbor as yourself? Start with those who are in your own home. Children, your actions affect your parents. Proverbs says this. In Proverbs 15, a wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother. You might know this, but your parents grieve and probably weep when you don't obey or honor them. When things are difficult and you feel like, man, I've had a lot of conversations with my parents lately. I've been pretty disrespectful lately. It's been a season of maybe not really egregious outward rebellion, but a season of rebellion where I don't want to do anything that they're telling me to do. Just know that your parents are grieving that. They do not have any desire to be sitting down having these long talks with you. I know that it might seem like it at times because we can talk a lot. Parents probably need to do more listening than talking at times. But there's no desire at all. There's desires in every parent that their kids would find joy in being around them. Their kids would love being around them all the time, obeying them all the time, giving them everything that they want all the time. But there's not always that possibility. But they grieve and weep when you do not honor or obey them. This word honor in the Hebrew has the meaning of weight or glory. I think it's a heavy thing for children to honor their parents. It's a heavy thing for parents to be honored or dishonored by their children. Jacquel Crow, who wrote a book called This Changes Everything, she wrote it when she was a teenager. She wrote and she says, by submitting to your parents, kids, you are submitting to God. Your earthly honoring reflects your greater heavenly one. So we want to love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. How are we doing at honoring our parents? How are we doing at blessing those around us? I remember as a kid coming home from summer camp. Summer camp was one of those things every year where half the youth group got saved and the other half gave their life to Jesus by rededicating their life again. And so I was usually in one of those two categories most often in the, we're going to rededicate my life. But I remember coming back from camp and my brother and I are in the car. My mom's picked us up. We're trying to tell her about camp, tell her how spiritually amazing and growing it was, and we get in an argument. And I just thought, this is ironic. I feel like what I learned at camp and how the Lord shaped me by his word should change how I engage in this conversation with my mother. And it's absolutely right. It should have. And yet sometimes we can come home on a spiritual high from a class or a conference or a camp and feel like those around us, our parents included, either don't know anything because they didn't tell us the amazing things we learned at camp or in the conference or class, or they're spiritually maybe below us, and we have to bring them up to be with us in our 13-year-old selves. Or maybe we're a little bit older. No offense to 13-year-olds. But sometimes it's complex in the showing of honor when we're growing as a Christian and being able to respect and care for the weightiness of all that our parents are doing in raising us and caring for us. So we want to continue as children, as children, even adult children of adult parents, how do we honor and show the weight, recognize the weight and the gravity of honoring our parents and continuing to obey the command to love your neighbor as yourself, your parent being one of the foremost relationships that God has given to you, one of the primary foundational relationships. Showing honor, blessing those around you is complex because our relationships are incredibly varied. But in every relationship, there's a way of demonstrably honoring the other person, being able to bless them in the relationship that we have. It doesn't mean treating all the relationships the same. It wouldn't be honoring, husbands, to treat your wife, honor your wife in the same way you honor all other women within the church. That wouldn't be appropriate. In the same way, it wouldn't be true to honor all children that are your children's age, not honor your children uniquely because they are your children. And so recognizing within the relationships that we have, there's complexity, there's weightiness. There's the ability to be able to say something of a blessing to one child without having to say it to all. It might not be true of all at that moment without showing partiality or favoritism. And our relationship with our parents shifts and changes over time. You're not the same type of child to be parented when you're 3 to when you're 13, and especially not when you're 30. This relationships of parents and children provide the foundational aspect in society, but also within the church as Christians, as we seek to love our neighbor as ourselves. This relationship within the family sits foundationally for us. When we're children, we show honor primarily through obedience. And our parents show honor to us children by training us in the Lord, Ephesians 6:4. As we grow up, obedience then moves and gives way to respect. And honor operates by looking to our parents, maybe, for wisdom and receiving it humbly, even when we might disagree with it. I might not go along with it, but I still ask for my parents' opinion, or I still consider it wise, even if our family is not going to follow in the same way in that which I was raised. But it moves and it changes. And then in adulthood, honor means calling our parents maybe more often than we do, engaging with them as trusted friends and mentors. And as our parents age, some of that movement and shift will then go to acts of service for them, or acts of sacrifice will become more important. Jesus is the perfect example for us in the scriptures. As we see Jesus age throughout the New Testament, he perfectly obeys his parents when he's young, when he's little, when he's growing up, all the way to the cross, all the way to the greatest of difficulties. He always obeys, perfectly obeys, never disobeys his father, but obeys perfectly so that you and I might have a chance to obey at all. The fact that we can obey and honor our parents is solely because Jesus honored his Father all the way to the point of death on a cross. And we want to remember that in this most foundational of relationships here within this text as we look at the fifth commandment. We see that this command is given to us to prioritize the fundamental relationship that God has given you. We also notice the shift that comes because of the movement from the fourth command to the fifth. And then lastly, this text shows us that we need to remember the goal of the relationships here on earth. The goal of the relationships here is for eternity. Look at what the text says. Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother. We've talked about that. Father and mother, foundational relationship. How do you love your neighbor as yourself? Then he says, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Remember, the people of Israel are waiting at the base of the mountain for Moses to come down with these tablets of stone, waiting for him to come down with what the Lord gives to him. They are waiting for God to take them into the promised land. It's a land that he has promised to them longer than 400 years ago. They've been waiting, longing for this land, as he says, flows with milk and honey. But wait, they must. They have to be patient. They have to follow him and trust in obedience now and when they get into the land. The text here says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Not only do they need to obey the Lord, but it seems at first glance as though there's a correlation between obedience and long life. Now, this is not the long sought after fountain of youth. Oh, I just have to obey. I have to obey my parents, and then I get to live longer. Like I get points. So every time I obey, I get a few extra moments or days added on to the end of my life. Like a video game. You and your friends catch up over the weekend. So how many extra days do you have? When is your end coming? I don't know. It's pretty bad this week. I obeyed pretty well. I just scored an extra few months. You know, it's not that way. As though the correlation is exact of your obedience to your long life. But think of it. How many lives are lengthened because children do not run out into the street? How many children's lives have been saved because they listened to their parents when their parents said, stop, don't go any further? They didn't have to ask why. They just stopped and the car zipped by. Some of us have probably been there where we tell our child to do something and they do it and disaster averted. Life still present. How many teens are still alive because they listened when their parents said not to ride in cars with kids who drive too fast and don't wear their seatbelt? You and I did, no doubt, really dumb things when we were younger, things that we go, I barely made it out alive. Some of us are shocked that we didn't die when we were kids. Maybe some of you in this room even had pretty close calls because you disregarded the wise counsel of your parents and did something that they told you not to do. So long life, possibly because in the wisdom that God has given to parents to be able to look out for and to know the dangers that are ahead, that a young child on his little bicycle is not going to be aware of. When he honors his parents by just knowing at 3 years old, I hear no or stop, and I stop. And God says, see, long life in the land that I am giving to you. Longer life than you would have had you disobeyed. Longer life is a very natural benefit to children who listen to their parents. But the real goal here for us as God's people is not merely longer life in a physical land of Canaan that God was talking about in Exodus chapter 20. But it is, as the text is alluding to, that Hebrews will pick up on the land of rest that is coming, a land that is given to God's people, and that is the land of promise, the true land of promise, which is the land of glory. That is for all believers from all time will dwell there. And long life, yeah, long life, it's one that won't ever end. An eternal life that God gives to those who are obedient, Those who have come by faith and trusted in Christ alone for salvation. Those who have cried out to God and said, I am a wretched sinner on my own and deserve death. And yet you in your kindness have offered life, eternal life, to one such as I. So Father, save me from my sins. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for someone like me and letting me know of eternal life in the scriptures. That then motivates us to bless those who are around us, beginning with our parents, beginning with those who are in closest relationship with. And as Christians, we repent when we get it wrong and we sin. Or we ought to. Kids and young adults, this is some application for you to do for your parents some of the very same things that you ought to show towards God, or maybe that you already show towards God, that the application might be in the same way that you come in reverence and honor to the Lord. You then see, is this also a way I can honor and show blessing to the parents that God has given to me? So you say thank you to God for salvation. You say thank you to God for grace and all the good gifts that you enjoy every day. So I would say also say thank you to your parents, who God uses as an instrument of grace and providing so many of those things for you. Say thank you to your parents who daily sacrifice for you that you can have the essentials and probably more than just the essentials that you enjoy on a regular basis. Don't take for granted what your parents provide for you. Make sure that you work hard to not take more than you should when you get older from them, to be able to honor them and the work that they have put into it and the work that you put into providing now for yourself as you are older. Remember that your parents have hopes and dreams and personalities and interests. They also have financial goals as well. And they often put those aside on the side burner for decades at times, because they love you and they want to raise you well. But when they spend half a day taking you shopping or watching your baseball game or running you back and forth to orchestra or dance classes or spend loads of money on all of those activities and the gas that it takes to get there, say thank you. Honor your parents in saying thank you. Grow a heart of gratitude towards God and your parents that will bleed out of those relationships into your neighbors around you and in so many other good ways as you get older, so that you will be that coworker that someone says, wow, I've been raised by good parents. He's always saying thank you. Has a real heart of gratitude. So not only saying thank you, but in the same way that you say yes to God, hopefully, young person, teenager, young adult, when he calls you to obey and you desire, though not perfectly, to obey with a willing and joyful heart, so say yes with a right attitude when your parents ask you to do something. Obviously, if it's not harmful or not sin, then obey. And obey with a right attitude. While your parents' instructions to you will change, obviously, as you get older, your heart towards doing what they ask should not. When you're on your own and married and you can take such advice that they give you and choose to do with it what you want in a respectful way and still honor them. But it is a joy to watch adult children in their 40s and 50s still do what their elderly parents ask of them when they come over to visit. Still do what their parents ask of them in just normal tasks. Can you put the mail over there? Can you get me this when you come by? Can you fix this when you stop over? Yeah, no problem, Mom. No problem, Dad. They're no longer under that same relationship, but honor is still present. This can even apply to older people in our lives who are like a mother or a father figure to us, and maybe a mentor or an older friend. 1 Timothy 5 says, "Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. See how the same foundational relationship of mother and father now bleeds into all relationships. In the same way, honoring those to whom honor is due, blessing those who are around us. Thirdly, we talk to God regularly in prayer, hopefully as a growing Christian. So, young person, make sure you are talking with your parents regularly. This one might actually be more important, though harder to do when you're grown up and out of the house. Make sure you are honoring your parents by communicating with them, by listening to them, sharing with them. This one hit me like a 2x4 in front of my face this week. When was the last time I called my mom? I don't want to tell you, but I need to honor her. Honor her in the way that I talk with her, listen to her. I have lots of excuses. The conversations go way longer than I think I have time for. Is that really an excuse? She lights up whenever we call her, as all of you do when your children and grandchildren call you. So we want to listen to them. We want to honor them in the way that they are asking. It is a joy to have older men here as shepherds in our church, as our lay elders. And I don't ever want to be the brash young buck who tells them how we are to lead and shepherd this church. But to listen. Listen to these men who have lived 10, 15, maybe 20 years longer than I have, who have cared for older kids, who have launched young adults into the world, who have grandchildren. To be able to listen to them, honor them by finding time to talk with them. The same is true of the older men and women within our church, of finding ways to sit down and make time to listen to them, hear the wisdom that they have gained over 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and almost 10 and a half generations. Decades. Listen to them. Proverbs 23 says, listen to your father who gave you life. Do not despise your mother when she is old, but honor and respect. And lastly, you ask God to forgive you when you recognized your sins, so make sure you tell your parents. Teenagers, young people, make sure you tell your parents you are sorry when you mess up. When you disobey your parents, and you will, make sure you follow it up. I'm sorry. It's immature for a Christian not to see how they sin regularly. It's immature for a Christian to see their sin and to not admit it, to not apologize, to not make it right. So say you're sorry. Say you're sorry regularly. See your need to say sorry to others, to your friends and the other relationships, your siblings, without being prompted all the time. And say, I'm sorry genuinely. And not the kind of apology that says, I'm sorry if I hurt you, but a loving and genuine, I'm sorry for what I did. Take ownership of your actions, admit your mistake, and make it right. Leviticus 19:32 says, you shall stand up before the gray head and honor the face of an old man, and you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. The correlation is given in the way that we treat those who are older and the honor and respect that we give. You shall fear the Lord your God. And so may we do just that. And parents, lastly, a few things for us. Even though this command is given for children to honor their parents, we've recognized in this morning together that this permeates all relationships. We get to bless those around us. So let us not sit back in our favorite chair and say, well, I'll wait for the kids to come around to contact me. Or don't say, they don't need me anymore. They're so busy these days. I'll wait for them to call me. You can also make it real easy for them to honor and love you by calling them. By finding ways to show love to them as your children, as adult children, and by being flexible and adapting that as they get older, and as you do too. Don't stop praying for them or investing in them. Love your children well. Raise them in a God-fearing home. Take care for their spiritual souls by being at church every Sunday, reading the Bible in your home. Provide for the needs of your children and some of their wants too. Let them be kids and don't give unnecessary pressures to perform. Provide for themselves. Provide for them. Pray for them. Pray with them. Pray over them. Be consistent. Be gracious. Don't keep changing the finish line on them multiple times, but have a goal and stick with it. Don't exasperate them or provoke them to anger. Don't yell at them. Don't ever hit them in anger. Parents know where joking goes too far and stop before it gets there. Don't call your kids harmful names. Don't cause your children to sin. Don't show favoritism. And don't deny them what is needful. The list can go on and on, but be present with your children. Seek to be a blessing to your children, that it makes it easy for them to bless you and honor you. And I cannot say this enough. Parents, apologize when you get it wrong. Apologize when you do the things that I just said not to do, or you don't do the things that we just said to do, that we should do. And just like we want for our children, apologize genuinely. Admit it, own up to it, and say you're sorry. Your kids desperately need to hear that you make mistakes too. And it will shape them in far greater ways than you can imagine in their own parenting. Apart from the grace of God, we parent how we were parented. And so moms and dads, set a really good example for your kids. And when you mess that up, apologize. Admit to them, I am not perfect and I'm so sorry that I hurt you. I'm so sorry for what I did. Your kids desperately need to hear it. They need to see the gospel at play in the life of their parents. Share with them about your past in ways that don't glorify your youthful sins, but that highlights the gospel of Jesus. Show them how God was gracious to you in spite of yourself at times, how he had mercy on you, how you had to run to Jesus to confess sin over and over again, and you still do. Bless your children, and be easy to be blessed by your children. Children, bless your parents, and be easy to be blessed by them. And then, church, let us do the same. In all our relationships that God gives to us, we get to bless others because the Lord has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. We get to. Let's pray. Our Father, we are so thankful for this morning, for this word that we get to be able to look at from your word, of honoring our father and our mother, of blessing, holding those relationships in such a way that is pleasing to you, interacting with others in a way that seeks to bless them, continues to get the eyes off of ourself and puts our gaze on you and on others. So, Father, would you continue to do that? Would you continue to, as Philippians 2 says, that in honor, considering those more significant than ourselves. Why? Because Jesus did. Have this mind which is yours in Christ, who Jesus came and gave his life for us. Even though he was in the image of God, he took on the image, the form of a servant, and made himself like us, like man in every way. Humbled himself to the point of death, even death on the cross. He did for us what we were unwilling and unable to do. He died for our sins, that we might be able to sit here and look back at the way that we grew up with our parents. We can't go back and change any of it. We can't change who raised us and how we were raised, and we can't change the way that we honored or dishonored our parents. But God, we can change, by your grace and the transformation that comes in salvation, how we go on tomorrow and the rest of today. There is always hope as long as you give breath in our lungs. You have given hope in your son Jesus, that we, through the process of continuing to be transformed by the gospel, can continue to grow in our relational abilities. We might be struggling to bless those around us or bless all that are around us, but God, we can grow in that. We might be struggling to be easy to be blessed by those around us. We're agitated and cranky. We're stuck in our ways. We can grow in that. So, Father, would you continue to do this work in us, not just to fulfill the fifth commandment, but to unify us families, unify us husbands and wives, parents and children, relationally with one another within this body, with other Christians in our community, that there would be a sense of unity that is mirroring the unity that you have, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, together with one another. That would be for your glory. Father, would you continue to do this work in us? And Father, we've mentioned many times this morning already, but we want to make it clear, if there is someone here in this room who says, I've never heard of the gospel before, I've never heard the message that I'm dead in my sins, I want to know more, that they would nudge the person next to them and say, I need to talk with you. That they wouldn't rest, they wouldn't leave this building without talking to someone, whether it's someone that they met as they were greeted when they came in, or someone they met during our greeting time, that they just said, can you tell me what it means to be a Christian? Father, would you continue to work in their life, bringing them to salvation, even this morning? Father, we pray that you would continue to be with the rest of our service as we look forward to the Lord's Supper, to singing again as a church, and to receiving the benediction from your word. And we ask your blessing on this remainder of our time together. In Christ's name, amen.